Good morning, Tucson. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yensu. You're listening to Tipping Point for the next hour. In-depth news, talk, and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We do it every day, drive time, Monday to Friday, 9 to 10. And thank you so much for listening and for engaging and for being a part of this every morning. It's great to do this with you. As I like to remind myself and everybody, it's from time to time, radio right now is the only medium where you can talk back to it, right? You can read the paper, you can watch YouTube, you can watch TV, you can, you know, read the local paper, all good things, but it doesn't talk, you don't get to talk back to it, you consume it. Here we get to have a real live conversation about the issues that matter to us on a live and long-term basis, and I think that's really special and really important. So thank you for hanging out with us, as we know you do, hour in and hour out, day in and day out. Have today on in a little bit the WNPA, Western National Parks Association. We're going to talk about the impact of COVID on our national parks, especially here in the West, and what that means going forward. We're also going to talk with a new company in Tucson with old family roots. I'm going to leave that to be a teaser for you at the end of the hour. A new local business is starting. Heck of a time to start, but a long history background. I'm excited about this story coming up. And then it's just you and I for the next few minutes. As I process a few things on my mind, I want to get your thoughts. 790-2040 as we stay up to date on all the live local happenings. By the way, if you missed my interview with Mark Kelly yesterday, it is up on the podcast. You can go to kvy.com/podcasts. You can go to iTunes, Google Play Music. And there was also KVOI also published an article about it that summarized not only some of the things we talked about, but it was really, really interesting that and I think it's coincidence, although it may not be, I don't know, but 9:58 yesterday morning, Senator Martha McSally's Twitter account shared a tweet by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo about how Senator McSally believes that this election against the her as the presumptive candidate on the Republican side for Senate, Mark Kelly as the Democrat on the other side, that this election is going to be about China and who can stand up against China. And what was weird is that that tweet was tweeted right after I asked Mark Kelly about China. Again, it's probably just coincidence, but it does highlight that you are probably going to hear China about 3,000 times a day for the next 6 months. On a serious note, China is going to be a huge topic in the Senate election. I think it's going to be a huge topic in all the elections in terms of being your hub for election 2020 news here on 1030 The Voice. At a national level, China is going to take a main stage. And I think yesterday really, really showed that, as both McSally and Kelly have investment ties to and from China. And so this is going to be interesting how it plays out. So there's that. Go and check that out. Listen to that. Really grateful to get that interview, as it's been rare. It's been rare to hear from our senators at times in the local media. We hear from Martha McSally quite a bit on this station. I have the invitation out to Kyrsten Sinema. Senator Sinema, if you're listening, you have an open seat whenever you want it here. And from a candidate level, it's been sometimes hard to make happen. It happened yesterday for us. Mark Kelly, go ahead and listen to that. What I wanted to talk about, and feel free to give me a call, 790-2040. Let me give you my stream of consciousness this morning. I think COVID-19, from a future forward perspective, and again, I'm thinking about the future on this, we're not post-COVID, but we are at a point in time where we have to be thinking post-COVID, right? I had a listener message and go, are we really post-COVID? No, we're in the thick of it, and we're not out of the woods yet. even as we reopen, but we have to be thinking what comes next. And I think what we're going to see over the next 6 months is going to really, especially locally, show us a picture of what our next few years look like. And I think that there's some really cool potential things that our community could be doing to lay the groundwork for the new economy, to lay the groundwork for the next 50 years of Tucson. And by no means am I suggesting that we use COVID-19 in either direction for political purposes or for agendas. This is a public health thing. This is an economic thing. We need to be focused on the issues. But I think there's this moment in time where we are now forced to think about a future that we weren't forced to think about before. And I think it's going to be telling in this tipping point moment where we go. Here's an example. Let me tell you what's rolling around in my head as an example of that. So we've seen in the local papers, we've seen, you know, how cities are getting these CARES dollars, right? This trillions of dollars stimulus package that the federal government passed to help stimulate or recover people in the economy from COVID-19. And what the federal government said is, look, we're going to give, in Tucson's case, $100 million, more or less, but you can't use it for revenue replacement, right? You can't say, hey, look, we forecast we're going to lose $60 million over the next X amount of time. We're going to kind of backfill our budget with this, right? The federal government said you got to use it for COVID-19 needs. It's got to be COVID-19 related, and you got to get creative with it. And I don't have the city attorney on my speed dial. I don't get to have the conversations, none of us do, that mayors and councils around the country are getting to have. I don't know all the nuances. I don't pretend to armchair quarterback. But an example is, you know, we know that Tucson needs better internet, broadband, fiber optic capacity, right? We're entering a world that is going to be based on our internet connectivity. We know there's a major digital divide in Tucson. We know that our next economy step has to be faster internet, faster connectivity, and more across the board. And I look at, you know, I look at the fact that we sent all of our kids home from school, and that more people are at home, more people are working, more people need to work from home, more kids are being educated at home. And a creative use of some of those federal dollars, in my mind, as the federal government said they need to be used. Well, what if we said, hey, we're going to put down a lot more broadband, fiber, Wi-Fi. We're gonna get the city more connected, right? We're going to up-level our connectivity. When companies look at us, they're looking at this. When startups look at us, they're looking at this. How we are connected on the Internet of Things is really important. And of course, I don't think that conversation is happening. I think we're going to see cities and municipalities around the country go one of two paths. One is to protect what we have. One is to invest in what we don't have yet. And I think this is the decision that in our community we need to make. Are we going to protect and manage what we've had up to this point? Or are we going to look to the future and start investing in some of these things that are going to produce returns? And we'll see what happens in Tucson, in the county, in the region. I have a hunch, I think, of what will happen. And I'm not sure it's the best possible future, but I think we're at this moment where we can start thinking about some of these things. We're seeing, you know, municipalities invest various amounts of CARES Act dollars into small business support. I think Phoenix put, it's like a percentage point. What we're seeing from the Tucson budget, Phoenix put, I think, 4% of its CARES Act dollars into small business support. It's about $14 million for them. Tucson looks to be doing like 3%. For us, it's like $2.5 million. I think there is a philosophical decision there that in some respects already has been made. You either look at business and entrepreneurship as a driver of more city revenue to do more things with, or you say, no, we're going to use this to maintain what we currently have. And, if I could armchair quarterback and be in the seat. I think Tucson's best potential is reached by saying, look, how do we invest in the revenue drivers of the near future? Christy Simone, I don't agree on everything, but I always give him credit when I say what I'm going to say next is, you know, the sprinkles happen when there's ice cream in the cone. And often locally, we don't focus on getting the ice cream in the cone. I'll talk about this when we come back from our first break, and we're almost there. But the city just did a neighborhood vulnerability report, and 55% of Tucson is considered medium to high vulnerability. Tucson is a impoverished, vulnerable community, and that doesn't put us in a position of strength. And I think our community right now, post-COVID, will have the opportunity to say, are we going to sustain that? Or are we going to create a new economy where there is broad-based prosperity, where it pulls people up through opportunity, and we're going to do it in XYZ ways? I think we're getting hints that we're going to do the former. And I think this is an important season for us as a community to start getting a feel of where we are at as a city and what we like about it and what we don't like about it. But I think this is a very key moment. 30,000 foot, this is what's rolling around in my head. Let's go to our first break. We'll come back, talk more about this. 790-2040 is your live on opportunity. Chime in, let me know what you think. We'll continue with more right after this message. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
Would you like a hand in shaping the future of transportation in Tucson? Well, the city is developing a plan called Move Tucson to identify and prioritize transportation projects over the next 20 years, and we want to hear from you. Head to movetucson.org to share your vision for how to improve Tucson transportation, no matter how you get around. How do you want Tucson to grow? Go to movetucson.org and let us know. Again, that's movetucson.org.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Friday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Tucson, welcome back to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We're just around the corner from a conversation with the Western National Parks Association, the nonprofit that runs our national parks here in the West. Gotten some questions from you listening about when will parks open, which will open, which are not opening. We're going to get all the answers for you about the COVID-19 impact on the national parks here in just a minute. Looking forward to that. And then a family business that you will know well in Tucson is writing a new chapter. I'm going to keep teasing this. It's a great story. I'm excited to talk to talk to that new company at the end of the hour. We're talking together here on the show, 790-2040 until the bottom of the hour. Give me a call. Let me know what is on your mind. This is my stream of consciousness moment on the show where I tell you what's on my mind. This is your space to sound off and let me know what you're thinking. But I'm making the distinction that we're not quite maybe ready to turn to close the book on COVID-19. We're still in that space where we have to figure out and make sure that we're on a great trajectory of public health and economic health. We have to have both at the same time. So we're not post COVID-19 in that sense. No illusions there. But I am on this mission to start looking at what do we do now to build the next. There's no going back. There's no going back to normal. How do we build the next? How do we step into the new economy? And the Democratic mayor of Pittsburgh made an interesting comment that has continued to stick with me. And he said this: the three areas that the world is moving toward is shared, electric, and autonomous. Pittsburgh will be at the forefront of the building of this new economy. And I think what I'm desperately hoping for now and in the near future is that Tucson we can pull out the word Pittsburgh and put Tucson in, and that we will have voices saying that. And I get people saying, well, Zach, you know, Tucson is no Pittsburgh. And to a large extent, yes. But to a large extent, we have one of the most innovative autonomous vehicle companies in the world right here in Tucson, and in collaboration with Pima Community College, and that's too simple. Tucson has the potential, has the pieces to begin saying Tucson will be at the forefront of building the new economy. I'll give you another micro example to not make this super high level, and then we'll get to the phone lines, we've been saying, look, Tucson is a top 10 best positioned community to come out of COVID-19. You have all these people who are crammed into the density of San Francisco, New York City, companies realizing they don't have to have these people in offices. They can send them anywhere. To me, Tucson should have launched a campaign yesterday to say, hey, look, we're one of the safest places in the country. We'll take your software engineers. We'll take your IT specialists. I mean, there should be a branding campaign around importing the talent that is already looking at Arizona. We know Arizona, and to some extent Southern Arizona, has been the most Googled place that people want to move to. Right? We need to be saying, look, companies aren't thriving in Tucson because we don't have the software and IT workforce. Up until 6 weeks ago, we had to develop that internally. The awesome new reality is we could say, hey, you're welcome here. Move here. Come here. Right? Can you imagine if you had hundreds and thousands of this kind of talent that people are looking for who are suddenly in the Tucson area? So I'm not just staying at the high level. I'm thinking about what are the things that the new economy things that we need to be looking at, and how do we take this moment and say, we're building towards that future. And I think whether or not we see that over the coming weeks in our region is going to tell us whether we're going to embrace that top 10 potential or we're going to just focus on getting back to normal. And the sad truth is there's not much of a normal to go back to. It's a brave new world, and it is what it is. Let's go to our phone lines. Chuck is on the line. Chuck, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. You're live and on the air.
Good morning, Zach. Yeah, Zach, I believe it was about a week ago, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the CDC put out a news advisory that said the COVID virus cannot survive on hard surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
It dies immediately. True or not true?
My recollection is last week that the CDC did say that, yep.
Yes. So my question is, then why is all the fuss being made over cleaning surfaces, you know, with disinfectant? Doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't survive anyway, Zach. Even on clothing, it can't survive on your clothing. The only way it survives is through droplets from your mouth or your nose or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Chuck.
So why all the fuss, Zach? Why all the money being spent on cleaning every hour on the hour?
Yeah, you know, Chuck, this is, you bring up so many things. And number one, you're right, which is why I continue to advocate for masks, not because, I mean, masks are going to eliminate the likelihood that droplets from you go to somebody else. It's not necessarily right. Like, it's not gonna like preserve your health per se. It's gonna make sure that you don't get yours on somebody else, and you hope somebody else who's wearing a mask is getting theirs on yours, because that is how it's spread. You know, I think, right. You know, I think, Chuck, the thing that I hope happens in our community is that the science on this is ever changing, and we need to change with it. Right, the concern was about surfaces. If the CDC says it's not surface-borne, then we need to be communicating that out when we're shaping policy for restaurants. You know,
that's right.
To some extent, too, Chuck. You know, like, I want to encourage our essential workers who are in their 20s and 30s and 40s out there, that yes, you're on the front lines, but the data is in your favor. Right, not that we sacrifice you for anything, but if you are in that 20 to 40 bracket, you have a little bit less reason to be concerned. I don't think that we're messaging the full picture out there, Chuck, and we need to be.
I agree with you, Zach, but we've got to get this information. I mean, to me, this is very newsworthy. This should be out all over the place, telling people, hey, don't be concerned about touching things. Hard surfaces, don't be concerned about that because you can't get it. But I don't hear anybody talking about it.
Right.
Thank you, Zach.
Chuck, I appreciate it. And the tough thing for me on this side of the mic too, I think for everybody, is that the information on this stuff is changing by the hour. I mean, frankly, it's exhausting. What you hear from the CDC yesterday has changed today, probably changed yesterday before we went to sleep. I mean, we are living in a world of half-truths. And you either have the time to put two half-truths together or you don't. And it's exhausting. I mean, it really is. It's tiring on this end. Western National Parks Association coming up. We'll be right back. Hey, Tucson. Zach Yenser here. And I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info.
Would you like a hand in shaping the future of transportation in Tucson? Well, the city is developing a plan called Move Tucson to identify and prioritize transportation projects over the next 20 years, and we want to hear from you. Head to movetucson.org to share your vision for how to improve Tucson transportation, no matter how you get around. How do you want Tucson to grow? Go to movetucson.org and let us know. Again, that's movetucson.org.
Twenty-five years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Good morning, Tucson. Welcome back to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, here on 1030 The Voice. Daily in-depth news, talk, and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Looking forward to our next conversation up here. I have Jim Cook with us for the next few minutes. He's the Chief Executive Officer of the Western National Parks Association to talk about the impact of COVID-19 on our national parks and what the future looks like going forward and so much more. So let's dive in. Mr. Cook, welcome on the air. Thanks for a few moments of your time this morning. How are you?
I'm great, Zach. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, absolutely. So let's make sure that everybody knows what WNPA does. What is the Western National Parks Association, and what are the national parks here in the West that are under that association?
Yeah, great. So Western National Parks Association has been around over 80 years. We're a nonprofit education partner of the National Park Service. We have an affiliation with 71 national parks in those 12 western states, and they range from the local parks, such as Saguaro National Park, all the way to Little Bighorn Battlefield in Montana, to Big Thicket Preserve in Texas, to Channel Islands off of the coast of Los Angeles. So we provide products, services, and programs that really support the visitor's experience, enhance that experience, and make it special. So we're a longtime publisher. We've got over 750 book titles that we've published over the years. We help support a lot of the programs that visitors might experience when they visit a national park. And we operate the nonprofit stores in those visitor centers. So if you were to go to Saguaro National Park, for example, and buy something, you're actually buying it from us. And those dollars are returned to the parks in the form of grants, and those grants support education, interpretation, research, and public engagement activities for those parks.
I love it. And I don't think a lot of people knew that connection. So this is cool. What parks that are under, you know, this association, the ones that you work with, which ones are still closed? Are we seeing some open and some not? How independent is that opening? How have the national parks been impacted by this moving forward?
Yeah, great question. So actually quite a number of parks never completely closed.
Okay.
So for example, you're able to go drive through Saguaro National Park and enjoy the desert. The visitor centers, however, are closed.
Okay.
across the country. And so the National Park Service, working very closely with the CDC, is now evaluating the reopening of parks. And through that guidance, they're taking on the best practices. And we as a partner are doing the same to ensure the safety of our staff, our Park Service partners, and that of the public, of course. And so, like every other entity, we're sorting through all the information and putting our best foot forward to create that best and safe environment.
Jim, I have a question from a listener that it's in the mailbox, not a call-in question, but it was sent to me as they're listening to you. A question about, do you know, is Crater Lake National Park opening, and is Yosemite going to be open? Are those questions that you have the answers to at this time, or?
Yeah, great question. And really, I'm going to advise your listeners to go to this website, and that's NPS, as in National Park Service, nps.gov. And if the listeners go to that website, they'll be able to do a search function and find every park unit that is under the National Park System and find out, because the information is changing daily, if not hourly. And like I mentioned, a lot of the parks are open, particularly the large nature-based parks such as Saguaro, where you can go and enjoy some nature, get some exercise. But the question, if you go a little deeper, it's really about the visitor services and amenities such as the concessions and operations like our stores. So I think that's my best advice, is to go to that website.
Perfect. You know, Jim, the encouragement all along the way has been, you know, has not been to sit in your home 24/7 for the last 2 months. You know, there's been, to
right.
me, it seems like a huge emphasis to make sure you're exercising, you know, go out
yep.
and get into nature and do it safely, you know, do it well. You don't want to have thousands of people in close proximity there either. But there's always been this balance struck. As we're starting to reopen and come out of this, what would be some of your recommendations for us to come and visit some of your parks and to stay healthy and stay connected in those ways?
Absolutely. Zach, national parks, as everybody knows, provide great resources, including a way to get out and get some exercise and enjoy nature. Of course, a lot of the sites that we work with are also historical sites and cultural sites. But to your question, I think number one, of course, we encourage everybody to wear masks, observe social distancing, and all the other recommendations through the CDC. That said, there are many opportunities, of course, for people to get out and enjoy nature. And Arizona, let alone Southern Arizona, has so many places to go. We, of course, know about Chiricahua Mountains, the Chiricahua National Monument, that is, in southeast Arizona. We've talked about Saguaro National Park. Not far from Tucson, of course, is Casa Grande Ruins, Oregon Pipe National Monument in southwest Arizona. These are all wonderful sites where people can get out and get some recreation and enjoy nature. Of course, it's beastly hot right now for some of these lower desert parts, but getting up in the mountains is mm-hmm. something that I enjoy doing. And again, as long as people are paying attention to the best advice of the CDC, I think these parks provide some great opportunities to get out and get away from the computer for a while.
We're talking with Jim Cook, the Chief Executive Officer of the Western National Parks Association, a nonprofit education partner of the National Parks. And I was going to ask you something that you already hit on, Jim, so I'm really glad that it went there, is that there's a lot here in Southern Arizona, or even 1 or 2 hours away, that I think sometimes we don't think about. As your stores and your services are starting to open on the WNPA side, should folks go to these national parks and engage with your stores? What are some of the things we can expect as you're reopening, or what are some of the challenges there? I want to get people connected to your stores and your services as well. What can people start to expect as we reopen yeah. more fully from COVID?
Yeah, great. So first of all, I can't miss this opportunity to promote our website, and that's WNPA, as in Western National Parks Association, WNPA.org. And folks can learn a little bit more about the organization and perhaps support us through membership and donations. We are 95% shut down right now. All of our revenues pretty much are shut down. So we're struggling and hope to get back into our core activities through the reopening of stores over time as the parks open up in the visitor center. So what to expect, again, I think for people to do a little research on the nps.gov site is prudent, because we want to make sure you know what to expect when you show up at one of these sites. Particularly the smaller sites that have limited space, such as Tumacacori Missions in south of Tucson. The grounds are open, but the visitor center is closed. They are looking at opening perhaps in the next couple of weeks. Our store operation should be open. We just don't know exactly definitively yet. When we will be opening stores, it's going to be a case-by-case evaluation and determination. Every site is different, and many of the visitor centers that we work in are quite small, quite frankly, and probably a little more difficult to accomplish the social distancing recommendation from CDC. So we're looking at, again, every site as a distinct exercise and determining what our program will be. We are also evaluating perhaps curbside type of retail, where if it's a small site and it's not advisable to open the visitor center wholly, we may offer products through sort of the curbside, if you will, by outside of the visitor center. So those are some of the things that you can expect. And in terms of the products that we offer, they're all educational educational in nature. Again, I mentioned publications. We have a wide variety of publications that we publish. We also offer a lot of things for kids. One of the pride and joys of the National Park Service and of our organization is the Junior Ranger program, and we enhance that program through either products to buy or free products that are available that we produce, such as the activity booklets for kids. So those are some of the ideas and thoughts for the experience that you might expect.
Love it. Jim Cook, the time goes by fast. And I wanted just to use this time to promote what you do and talk about the value to the community. One more time before we close out our conversation, the website where people can go for both the national parks and the WNPA to engage with you as we start to open back up again.
Wonderful. Thank you, Zach. Yes, nps.gov, so nationalparkservice.gov, nps.gov, for detailed information about parks and reopening. And for us, Western National Parks Association website is wnpa.org.
Wonderful. Jim Cook, the CEO of the Western National Parks Association, thanks again for your time. We'll have to have you back on soon, especially as things continue to open more fully to promote the wonderful experiences that are here for people and families all across Southern Arizona that I think many don't know about. We want to change that. So thank you, Jim Cook. I appreciate it.
You bet. My pleasure. Thank you, Zach. Take care.
When we come back from our last break of the hour, we're going to talk with John Smalley. Many of you know Truly Nolan, and there we go. I've been teasing this all hour. A great Tucson family business story. The next chapter is getting written right now, right here in Tucson. We want to tell that story. That's coming up right after the break. Don't go away, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. WhyLoveWhereILive.com. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many local businesses right now, their physical location at the MSA Annex is dealing with changes to hours and operation, but I'm so proud of how they've pivoted to online sales and a virtual website tour of their brand new space so you can see what they're up to. Go to WhyLoveWhereILive.com right now and buy local to invest in the people that keep our economy going. Good morning, Tucson. We're back here on Tipping Point. Before we get into a local business story, I'm really excited to be able to share. This just got sent to me breaking about 10 minutes ago. The Attorney General has ended investigation of the Pima County supervisors over restaurant restrictions. The county sent an updated list of health restrictions and guidelines and regulations. And the Attorney General has judged that the state senators and representatives that asked the Attorney General to investigate is moot. The investigation is over. So that's breaking news. That's important. And many of you I know will be interested in that. On the line with us now is John Smalley and Scott Nolan. of a new company in Tucson with an incredible story. I want to let John and Scott tell it and break it. Gentlemen, welcome on the air, and thanks for spending a couple minutes with us today. How are you?
Good morning, Zach. Happy to be here.
Yeah, Zach, Scott, looking forward to talking to you.
Wonderful. So give us the why of your startup. Break the name, break the why. Many will recognize Scott Nolan from the family of Truly Nolan. The new chapter is being written in the family story. Give us the quick story here.
Sure. After working with my father's business my whole life, then I retired last year, and Molly came up with some ideas, and I said, let's try it out. So I'm supposed to be retired, but he's got me working, so it's kind of...
I literally was on a call this morning with about 50 local business owners, and I said, poor Scott, he had no idea when I took him to lunch last year that I was picking his brain, and that it didn't really involve me trying to expand the pest control industry. It did, but Scott probably had no idea that I was trying to actually take him along possibly for the ride. So we've been really fortunate. The company is Pest Friends. Zach, first of all, thanks for having us on Tipping Point. Really enjoy what you do and your program. The company's called Pest Friends. It's essentially what we are branding as modern pest control. So we, through a group of business owners, decided to create a company that was really focused on creating and driving what we call modern pest control, which is essentially when you combine technology, innovation, eco-friendly options to take care of families, pets, and then basically support it through a work-to-own model that really drives customer service and local ownership. Our, if you want to summarize it, somebody did it really well the other day. Our real focus is saying, can we do better in the pest control industry by simply taking care of two groups of people? The first being the client, and the second, but equally important, being the employee.
You know, by 1959, this is why so many people in Tucson know it, Truly Nolan was the top pest control company in Tucson, branching out to Phoenix, San Diego, Albuquerque. Scott, who's on the call with us today, started working for his dad when he was 12 years old. Scott just mentioned he retired in 2018 and never thought that John would be asking him what he asked. Scott, you've been in the business for a long time. What is modern pest control? What is it, and why is there a need for it? We got about 4.5 minutes left. I don't want this to be our first conversation, but I want to tell people, what is modern pest control?
Well, it's all about, number one, having an eco-friendly approach, using innovation. The world's changing fast, and there's lots of new technologies out there. How do we get them affordable and in customers' hands? And then we have the work-to-own model, which is also very modern, where the person doing the work has a chance to actually buy into the business.
Amazing. And that's your commitment to be the employer of choice in the industry through the work-to-own vision for your employees. Maybe this is a question for John, but April 1st was supposed to be your start date. How did that go for you?
Yeah, well, it probably went about as well as anybody else who had an April 1st start date. It was a scenario when we started to work on this project. You know, we agreed that we weren't going to go to market until we were ready, and we wanted to come to market with a really good option that just wasn't really available out there. And we've spent a lot of time and effort and honestly money getting ready to do that. And obviously April 1st comes and we get hit with COVID-19. I would say that it definitely wasn't the ideal scenario, but I think it's made us stronger in a lot of ways. When we put the company together, we came up with a list of core values that we agreed weren't just going to be a list that hung on a wall. It was going to be something that we were going to carry out. And Zach, honestly, the first core value is treat people like family. Mm-hmm. And that was put there to make sure that we treat the employees the right way, but that we also treat the clients the right way. And the toughest decision that I've had to make so far came up right around that time, where it was, we have employee options, we have employee commitments, the people who are leaving other companies and coming to work for us, do we keep them or do we put them on hold? And we ultimately agreed that we would go ahead and keep them. So I think it was a true testament to the people who work for our company, who we consider to be the best people out there, that we weren't just lip service, that we were actually going to carry it out. So We've also been incredibly blessed by the response that we've seen so far, specifically in the 85718 and the 85750 zip codes around the product that we're offering. You know, we're not trying to put Truly No One out of business. We actually think they're a really reputable company and a good company. We're simply trying to expand the market and pick up the consumer as well as the employee who feels like they're looking for just a little bit more.
Gotcha. Gotcha. What is the plan now going forward here as we start to come out little by little from the COVID-19 shutdown?
Yeah. So I'll take it, and Scott, you just fill in whatever I left out. But the plan is to expand. You know, the plan is to create a company based out of Tucson that hires Tucson people and takes care of Tucson families. And the plan is to really work that model. We talk about being zip code focused. The plan is to create ownership opportunities that are felt by the consumer. And by that, I mean, we want the consumer to feel like this technician knows more about their neighborhood, knows more about their problems, cares more about their neighborhood, cares more about their problems than anybody else. Then the expansion opportunity comes from continuing to hire really good people to work on our innovation, our technology, to continue to explore those options of different ways to service the client out there right now who doesn't just want chemical after chemical after chemical. And the goal would be to create the headquarters, which is Pest Friends, for a regional or a national company that really does start to describe and create the view of modern pest control going forward.
And right here in Tucson, Arizona. I love this story. I love what you do. I'm going to reach out to you to have a follow-up conversation, because I think this is such a great story for Tucson. MyPestFriends.com, pestfriends.com, is that the website?
It is the website, yeah. We put a lot of work into it, and we'd love any feedback. So we're also hiring right now. If any pest technician is out there and interested in talking, we'd be happy to have them contact us through that. And again, we'd love to talk to you and your listeners more. You guys are absolutely the basis of what we're creating this company for.
We're talking.
Yeah, and you know, after having my father's history here in Tucson, growing up in Tucson, Truly started right here and ended up in six countries before he died.
Amazing.
And been really proud to be associated with that. And now to start something new again here in Tucson, this is kind of fun.
Huge. John and Scott, thank you so much. We'll continue the conversation. MyPestFriends.com.